5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just a beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. I've sunshine enough to spread. It's just like the fella said. Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head? Said, ain't that a kick in the head? Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. She's telling me we'll be wed. She's picked out a king-size bed. I couldn't feel any better or I'd be sick. Tell me quick, boy, ain't love a kick. Tell me quick, ain't love a kick.
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening. It's Thursday night again already. It seemed like it was only last night we were back on the air. So, scary stuff. It is episode 80, which is 80 weeks of this bullshit. But, hey, you know, people seem to be enjoying it, so there you go. The whole new Panic Room, which is not so new anymore, after 8 years. We have to change the name to the same old Panic Room, I think. And speaking of the same old...
That's awful.
It's me. Well, do you know, I try to come up with sort of smooth segues, and I just can't.
Yeah.
So it's me. It's my old mate, Mucker X. Steiner. How are you this evening, Medea?
Can I say that?
Is that not politically correct these days?
What did you say? I didn't hear you.
Medea. It's a bit, you know.
Oh,
it's
I
a
like
bit,
that.
Could be sexist.
No.
Could be sexy. It could be the verbal equivalent of grabbing you by the pussy. I don't know. I just don't know what is appropriate these days. I mean, you've just got to be so careful. Oh, Medea, hello there, Medea. I know, but I remember somebody back in England got upset because some bloke called a duck, where I'm from and in the Midlands, it's all right, duck, you know, or you call a guy cock, you know, hiding cock. And people getting offended. It's like, seriously, grow the fuck up. Come on.
Have we not got enough? Weird.
To worry about, you know, them. Oh, he called me duck. I like that. Well, fuck off then. Go and die in a corner. Really? I mean, you
You're
know.
The
I'll tell you what I'm finding really funny at the moment is this campaign by politicians. These are people who are paid an obscene amount of money, and they are campaigning to have Tide Pods made to look less appetizing. They're fucking detergent. How more unappetizing can detergent be? Really? You know,
and
it's like saying, little Jimmy in the backyard caught him eating worms. So we need to campaign for the government to make worms look less appetizing.
Nope.
Well, you know, we've all eaten worms. Come on, we've all eaten the red crayons. We've eaten some crazy shit as kids. I mean, Tide Pods. I mean, the old Tide Pod's not going to kill you. I mean, it's stupid, but when we were kids, we did dumb shit like that. But it wasn't all over social media.
Yeah,
you know?
Very true.
we used to make the little fat spotty kid eat dog turds. I mean, and it wasn't all over social media.
I remember doing a double dog dare to some kid that was in our neighborhood, and he bit into a caterpillar. Oh, so gross.
Yeah.
But yeah.
We had there was always that one kid who would eat anything. That was me,
yes.
To be honest, for a bet.
No.
I once ate a raw chicken heart for a bet.
Oh, my God.
Raw eggs. I used to guzzle raw eggs just like they were nothing because, you know. But my mate used to say, bet him a quid and he'll eat that. And I'll fucking eat that. I've eaten some crap in my time. But I'm probably paying for it now. But...
So
but
do you think you would have ate a Tide Pod? Do you think,
oh, fuck
you know,
yes. Of course, if somebody paid me, yeah. Somebody bung me a couple of bob, I'd have eaten that, no problem. It's a bit of detergent. Seriously? I mean, if you develop a habit, you know, it's a gateway detergent, you know, and then you're onto Persil, you know, then you're on the hard stuff, you know, dishwasher tablets with a little ball in them. So I can see the worry of it being a gateway detergent. But hey, washing up liquid. Some of that washing, I always get the grapefruit and pomegranate, and I could drink that stuff.
Oh, me too.
Delightful.
That smells so good. Yes.
It smells gorgeous.
That's,
and then the,
I,
the
buy now.
Kids
yeah.
bought me some nice fancy aromatic soap. I think they're trying to tell me something. honestly, I could just take a bite out of it. It's like, In fact, here's a funny thing. Many, many years ago, we went on holiday somewhere hot and foreign, it was. Dominican Republic. And we went for these couples massage things. And we had a chocolate wrap and massage. And I'm trying to lick it off. He says, stop eating that. It's chocolate. And it did. It just said, no, you're not supposed to eat it. It's chocolate. Don't smear my body head to toe in chocolate.
How can
not
you
to
not?
Eat it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, they nipped out to let it soak in for a bit. They came back and eaten half of it. It was still where's that gone?
Yummy.
any more of that? But I don't know. I think they just sort of leap on things that are just... stupid, you know, and kids are gonna, you know, to be fair, if the kids are eating Tide Pods, there's a good chance they're not taking crack cocaine, so good on them. That's what I say. Good on them. Keep on with the Tide Pods. Stay away from drugs, kids. There you go. You see, this show is it's not only educational, it's your public service announcements as well now, so... So, I know what we're going to do. It's my favourite bit now because I like the jingle. Here we go.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa.
So, what indeed, pussycat, is going on in the big one? I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Actually, I'll call
you
Dot.
All right. You're
pushing
saying
my
dear, but you're
going to... Sorry. Yeah, but that's a song, isn't it? I mean, you can't get old
Jones.
Could you sing What's Up, My Dear? Although he's from Wales, so he could probably get away with that. So what is new in the big wide world of Hellbound Books Publishing, LLC?
You know, why don't you... You didn't prep me earlier for this question. You just spring it on me for the second week in a row. I should know better by now, shouldn't I?
You should know better, and be it spontaneity.
Oh, okay.
So keeps the
okay,
show
let's
fresh.
See. I am excited because on the 14th, which is really, really soon now, we have Insights to Evil Insides, and that's dark poetry, which is right up my alley. And we
steady
actually
on.
Have
so, family show, family show. You can't say that.
What? What did I say?
You can't discuss your alley on the airwaves. Excuse me.
I think people want to know about my alley.
they're listening to the wrong show. They need to dial into Pornhub if they want to listen about such things, such items.
But we actually have Sadie Waycoat on the show tonight, and I cannot wait to
we
talk
do.
To her. Because
I am so excited.
I am too. Because I, you know, being the dark poet princess that I am, I have to say that I may have to give up my tiara or something, just, you know, for the week. Yeah.
Not exactly. Quite good enough for a crown yet, you know. Not quite good enough for a crown. It's more of a headband, really. A bit of a headband.
I think tiara is good. Tiara is good.
Go for tiara. Just stick with tiara. So, yes, we have that, Insights to Evil Insides. We have Trixie in June is out. It's actually available for pre-order now, obviously.
We did mention
that, and hopefully we'll be having Lee Todd Lacks on the show sometime very soon to discuss that. We have Them from James Watts, which has been a long time in the background coming through, and that's going to be through next week. So, and that is a good old Royster Doyster of a horror novel that will scare the shit out of you, to be honest. It's one of those that sort of eats into your brain. It starts off sort of nice, well, so nicey-nicey starts off the funeral, but it's sort of, you know, and it lulls you, and then it builds up and builds up into all sorts of unpleasantries. So, you know, that's one to watch, one to look out for next week. That'll be out. So it's all going on. To say it's a quiet time of the year, it's just all happening.
Yeah, I can't wait. I definitely need more scary in my life. I do. I caught myself reading a romance novel the other day.
No.
I was where is the blood and where's the guts and where's the killing? What is wrong with this?
That's it. I'm halfway through. Nobody's died yet, so this is going
in
the
I keep waiting, but so far nobody's killing anybody.
No, that's just rubbish. A good horror romance would be great, wouldn't it? You know, with love and murder.
Somebody asked me one time to write with them, and it was the genre was going to be gore, erotica, or something like that. And I thought that sounded really interesting. I didn't know how we were going to do that, but the idea sounded really awesome.
Oh, that's when you finally read Flanagan, which is my book, when you finally read that you want gore, erotica. That is, as you say, that is right up your alley. So there you go. You look forward to your alley can look for. I'm just obsessed with this now. I'm just going to have a cold shower after the show. So.
Because of my alley, really?
Well, be just everything going up your alley. I mean, it's just I'm just all I've come over all unnecessary now. I'm a little bit. I must admit, I'm a bit clammy this evening.
Wow.
So there you go. So, what is occurring on the show this evening? Because I have no idea. I don't prep you. I don't prep myself. I just turn up and just gibber on for a bit, you know.
You do. But we have on tonight's show dark poet Sadie Waycoat, and I'm very excited. And then we have literature and noir writer, and I'm going to say his last name wrong, I think, Bob Van Leerhoven?
Leerhoven.
Come on, I was close, wasn't it? You're laughing. Why are you laughing?
I would pronounce it Leerhoven, or not Lederhosen, which is something completely different. Lederhosen, which is leather trouser. It sounds like a sort of a Swedish sort of Finnish sort of name, I guess. But we can do the happy Leif Erikson Day thing, and we actually celebrate Leif Erikson Day in this house. So, in fact, have we missed it? Keep jabbering. I'm gonna look it up. I hope I've not missed it this year.
Are you insinuating that I jabber? I mean, is that what you're...
Yeah. Oh, thank God. Yeah. No, it's October the 9th. Now, we do actually observe Leif Erikson Day. Hindigindigurden. because we there's a whole SpongeBob episode dedicated to that. So we actually, we're going to eat sort of Finnish food and do all of that. Pickled herring, mostly. So.
Okay, gross. That sounds really gross.
It does, doesn't it? And moose droppings, probably. I don't know.
Oh,
God. What we eat over there.
Yeah.
Mmm.
Yum.
So,
yeah,
hey.
That's...
Yum, yum, yum. Okay, so I think we need to bring our first guest on. Who
Woo,
is?
Yeah.
The aforementioned, she's had a bit of a build-up, actually. The aforementioned Sadie Whitecoat, who is poet, dark poet, princess in waiting, we shall call her. And, Sadie, how are you there, Mom? Hello.
Hello.
Yay!
Hello.
There she is.
Hello. How are you,
Hi,
Sadie?
Guys.
Hello.
I'm very good. How are you two?
Good. We're in fine form this evening. It's
we
it's,
are. We are.
I think I said last week. I mean, I live a solitary little existence. Bless my little heart, but Extina is the nearest to, you know, adult intelligent conversation I get all week. So I look forward to Thursday.
Yeah.
So, Sadie, thank you so much for joining us. You're here to talk to us about your new book. Also, I have to say, one of the darkest, most awesome pieces of poetry, literature I've ever read, I have to say. Wow, it's sort of, and Extina will attest. I'm not really a big poet. She's sort of the poetry person of the company, but absolutely blew me away. I mean, where did all that come from?
I'm glad you liked it. It all came from about 3 years of my life. A lot of it is based off truth, maybe not to the full extent, but it's basically all brought on by real experiences, and almost like a character. Yeah, it's evil. I don't know. It was all inspired by evil. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love what you said about you know, that it is true to a certain extent or something, because I find that in my poetry as well, that if somebody reads it, there's a lot of truth to it, but I will embellish things, or I will, I'll take an idea or a concept or something and then go a lot further than, you know, so but everything, almost everything that I've ever written, you know, there definitely is some truth to it. So I think, you know, and then to know that for myself, so when I'm reading your stuff, the whole time I'm like, oh my God, did this really happen? Oh my God. And I'm, you know, it sucks you in, and it just, you know, the whole time. And I think I said this, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but it really reminded me of Nikki Sixx's book. What is that called? Oh, The Heroine Diaries. I mean, yes, I loved that book, and that is definitely what I thought of when I was reading Inside, to Evil Insides. I can't wait for people to read this and just fangirl over it the way I did. I really did. I mean, I'm glad that it's a little different than my poetry. I like to rhyme a lot, and you rhyme too. You do, but not quite as much as I do. So it wasn't really my style.
I think between you and I, Sadie, I think XC is a little bit jealous, to tell you the truth.
Hey now! She's awesome. She really is. And there are times that I've read, you know, poetry, and I thought, it's good. You know, it's good. It's decent. But when I read Sadie's, I was like, wow, people have to read this, you know. It deals with a lot of really serious topics, and you know, I have, this is this is getting personal, but I have a daughter who, you know, I think I say it all the time that I think you guys would get along really good, and I would love for her to read your stuff. I would. I think it would be, I think it would help her. I think that she would be like, wow, there are other people out there, you know, that go through the same things that I, you know, or I'm going through. And so,
when you tell me about your daughter, it actually makes me kind of think, as if it was like me in a parallel universe. So I think I could relate to her a lot.
That's so cool. Yeah, definitely. So you are going to share some of your poetry with us tonight, aren't you?
Yes. I have
Yay.
Two selections from Insights to Evil Inside, and I've got, one of them is a rap, and then I've got two selections from my second book, which actually just, you know, gained publication today.
Woohoo! Yeah, I don't think even James knew that. I did talk to him a little bit about it, but yes, her Sadie Whitecoat's second book of poetry will be published by Hellbound Books as well. So there's,
well, but you know, that's typical. You know, nobody tells me anything. Do they? Nobody. Well, congratulations, Sadie. I'm obviously the last to know, but congratulations. I'm thrilled.
No, you weren't the
I'm
last
thrilled.
To know.
Pretty much. there's
it's
probably
really
some.
Good.
There's probably some remote tribe in Papua New Guinea who've never seen a white man who maybe just don't know just yet. But that's probably it.
Exactly.
Other than that, it was just me.
Right. But then again, you don't pay attention to so much that I could have easily told you, maybe.
Quite possibly.
And
you
weren't paying
you
attention.
Did. I remember you mentioning it to me that Sadie had submitted it, and I remember getting excited because I thought if it's anywhere near or half as good as Evil Inside, it will be fantastic. So I shall.
Yes.
It'll be a surprise for me to read it because I knew nothing about that. So well done. But so I'm looking forward to the reading.
Me too.
Yes, I think I'll both love it. It's much different than Inside People Inside. I might say better, but not better, just different.
Yeah. Right. No, I totally understand that. Like Dark Musings is my baby, and I don't know if I'll ever. I don't know. I want to say I don't know if I'll ever top it, but. That might not be the correct term that I want because, you know, some of the newer stuff is darker. But I don't know. So I guess everybody's, you have your first baby, and that's what I think Insights to Evil Insights will always be for you.
Yes, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we are ready when you are.
Okay. The first one is from Inside Steel Inside. It's called No Safe Words.
Okay.
A pulsing, pounding, pestering sound peeps as time goes on. Not to be back, it's pure lost time. The absence of is the only true permanence in this life. You only have one lifetime filled with longing and loading the world you breathe in. Suppress, get spun out, take your last spin. You can reductantly run away, but loneliness finds you and makes you its bitch. And with no safe word to sound and scream in sight, all you can do is take it. That's the first one.
I like that. Yeah.
The second one is a rap. So when I have names in my poems, I just put a blank, so I'll pause at the name just in case you're wondering what that was. But it's called This Bitch. This fucking dumb little man, little bitch comes to mind, but really his name was... What a walking joke he was, I wish I could do him in. He thought he was hard, but still needs me to hold his hand. Needles return make you needy as fuck. I guess I'm just greedy. All the free drugs, they were easy to get. You thought I was pretty, maybe I'm skeevy. Who would have thought? We've both been using, and now I've used you up. Fuck off, really, I wish you'd cease breathing. I'm looking for you now, but you're the real stalker. If I see him, he's dead, that little shit talker.
I love the raps. Oh, my goodness. I could hear them in my head when I was reading them. I could. This is so cool. I think we should have a whole show of raps, James. Can we rap a whole show? No, I'd probably suck at
some
that.
Some things just need to be rapped. Like, some things don't. Like, they need to be rapped.
Yes.
We need somebody who can beatbox to do that. So.
Oh,
that would be good. Somebody can phone in who can beatbox. We can do that to music. So that would be great. No, I enjoyed that. It was good. I could see that being performed.
Yes, me too. Yeah.
And then the next two are from my new book called Blood on the Brain. The first one is a shortened version of the feature poem Paranoia Creeps. So we'll get started with that now. Okay. Paranoia creeps up slowly behind you, sometimes taking 20 years. The 20 before were just as bothered with bothersome ringing and scratching in my ears. Eardrums inside out, eyes roll backwards, the world surrounding only plays on my fears. It stalks and spies until you divulge every weakness, then comes at you with your demise, your deepest, darkest secret. Like everybody knows, but it's none of their business. Maybe not everybody, who am I kidding, who doesn't? You're prey, but you're not so very innocent. However, the predator will come through, so prepare for paranoia. It creeps more secret than you and faster with knowledge that you've never known. And with every hit and deflect, the monster becomes stronger and forms power over you. Spearing its eyes on me, make him sit and sue and talk about wishing I had a life, but you make me scared to go out. It's good to push yourself, but how am I to do so? Paranoia always pulls me back in aggressively, and I'm a pushover. It's not concerned with how many per hour your car can do. You can speed away and turn and try to lose me your best, but I will find you by nightfall and steal all your rest. You'll stay up and stew. What can you do if the paranoid beast is all that's left of you? I got myself high to forget. Paranoia ensues. Every skill you could obtain, you would never stand a chance. In the game that we have played, you will always have me bested. I think I've had enough. I pray to God for possession, a demon retaining the skills and information on how to live in a world I used to feel safe in. When paranoia strikes, you are usually alone, and like a lost balloon away from reality, you start to float. If I mentioned my obsession, someone else would say I was crazy and wouldn't believe the lengths that you'd go to scare me until shakes and prepare me to be kept under your spell. Paranoia used to manifest my world. Now it's become my permanent hell. Paranoia speaks languages in which humans will never adopt. It's written in evil. Usually I'm fluent, now I'm not. Paranoia and its memory, now I've done forgot the way to salvation, and content is without this paranoia beside me lying dormant for now. Because paranoia is a cancer that doesn't go into remission. Every sound you hear, you start to investigate and listen. Check all the crevices and spaces evil hidden in the past and will continue to reside in, like old news in the garbage. It belongs in my peripherals. A power like that is that of extraterrestrial. You're no longer the master, so get back in your cage. You've got a bark collar on as you've a history to rage against restrictions your unique fear has made. Paranoia, the shapeshifter and the decider, makes you real scared of fake fears you've created in your intimidated state. A creature like paranoia will have no need to convince. You are already tied up at the wrists and ankles and anything you could utilize to make your escape. It didn't take much for the monster to corner you and make you its slave. Paranoia lurks best. You won't see it coming up. Pull her slow. It could happen to you. Other dysphoric feelings maybe you've also felt, at least when we're both scared, we're not scared by ourselves. Paranoia arrives and breathless chaos ensues, an everyday nightmare I've gotten used to.
That is so deep, I think.
Awesome.
I love that.
Yeah.
I have to say, when I was reading Inside, why is that always a tongue twister to me? Every time I try to say it really fast, I mess up
You need to drink more. I think that's why.
Is that it? Yeah. Insights, mm-hmm. Evil insights. I remember one of the poems distinctly where it was a paranoia based, and you were saying something about the house being quiet, or there was nobody in the house, but you could still hear voices.
Oh!
And
I know what the poem was. I hear my parents talking shit.
Yes! I have to say, I felt that. Like, I was in your room with you, and we were both paranoid, and we both... So it was so cool. It really was, but it creeped me out so bad. It did. It was like... I don't know. It just... I liked it. I really liked it. It was awesome.
I have one more.
Okay. Ready for you.
This one's also from the second... It's actually the last one in my second book. It's called Ordeal. One, the initial nightmare. Sometimes in life you get cocky. Sometimes in life you get greedy. Sometimes I got both. Other times I was just forgetful. Caution I did not care to take has a hold on me now and violently shakes me until I am left without a single memory. Sometimes I forget quickly what has just taken place. I'm suppressing this nightmare as fast as it happens, following life's pencil marks with an instant erase, abrasive and unable to slow or hesitate. You could have it all in mere seconds, so I wait a moment longer. The nightmare that is the shortcut cuts you deeper with every escape made. Sometimes in life you get desperate. Sometimes you make deadly mistakes in hopes to finally late. Two, the horrifying climax. It's enough for two, but I'm selfish. It's enough for two, but I'm hurt and I resent you. I'm not sharing half of all we've got to our name. I'll still request your assistance because I hate playing games. I've had enough to spare, but chose not to share or to enlighten you. Now it's too late to be straight. Too late, I'm already clutching my chest. Too late, I'm already trying my best to breathe through sharp pains in my chest. Later, I begin seizing and foam at the mouth for a while. Somehow I come out of it, but will never forget how badly things could have went instead. I will regret ignorance of my own mortality and will never again taunt death or assume its patience. Rejection never felt this blessed. Death does not want me yet. Rejection never felt this blessed. 3, the aftershock that follows. Thank you for leaving me with nothing but tricks. Recovering your memories, presence cannot begin. There is no pause or relief from the 6 things you have taught me. Thank you for leaving me with nowhere left to hit. Fuck you for leaving me with all the useless tricks. My life is too evil and each day is another problem. Each day is just another fix. I need it in order to exist within my mind full of memories. I need it to go on, my body full of tracks that lead nowhere but to my own personal hell. Each time it's getting harder for me to find my way back. No round trips, just regrets. My beloved escape cannot free me no more. Only exits lead to all evil. You can't help turning knobs to unlock dangerous doors. You hope only to explore, but then slam, it has locked itself shut behind you. I guess there's no place like home. I hate you for leaving me with nothing but tricks. I despise you for showing me just how my soul could itch. 4, scars left behind. I try to allow time for healing. I cannot help but reopen the wounds. Anytime I remember you, I await the initial pinch. It hurts for only a second, then after, you will have forgotten it all. 5, memories and other stains. I figured I could shake the trauma if I took on a different name. Memories can't be lost in the mix when they're so used to my face. I told myself I could shake the trauma and kick my habit in its chest. I can rename myself as many times as I please for nothing. You have not a chance left to come clean, not since you became the stain. A dirty existence, pain will never, never wash away. A stain's only hope for the future is to finally be erased. And that's the end.
Wow. Fantastic. I like that.
Yeah, so, like, sorry, it's really heavy, kind of disturbing. Like, I kind of aim to upset people, but in a way that, like, opens their mind.
Yeah, definitely.
I certainly, no, certainly elicits a reaction, which is great, which is, you know, all good writing should do, and it certainly achieves that. And as I say, I'm not a big lover of poetry, but that really Agustina sent me her book, and I mean it's all right, but no, this sorry.
Oh my god!
I'm only winding you up. But sorry, if it touches me, then it's got to be good. Oh, that was awesome stuff. Awesome stuff.
You know, I guess my question is, you know, with the first book, and you said that it was, you know, 3 of the, you know, worst years of your life. Did you find it hard to write dark after, you know, those 3 years were you know, do you know what I'm saying? Like with Dark Musings, there were things that I was going through when I was writing those poems, and now that I'm not in that place anymore, sometimes it does get harder to write dark. You know, I find myself writing these sappy love poems and going, oh my god, what the hell's wrong with me? You know, and I try to find some of the, you know, the darkness occasionally, and it's not as easy as it used to be.
I can very confidently say I've never written a happy poem. Like, I've always been a very dark person, and while they were the worst years of my life, at that time, I don't really have any shortage of suffering. So I get a lot to write about, and I'm also a dramatic person, so I can make my own things to write about, but yeah, I've just always been a dark person, and even though it's sad and stuff, it's who I am. I can't help but be disturbing, and but I love it, and I look at suffering as a gift because look at the types of things I can make from it when I write.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. Because, you know, I don't think that I would say, you know, oh my gosh, if I hadn't gone through that, you know, I would never have written Dark Musings or something like that. But it's probably very true. Or, you know, so I suppose there you can find a silver lining to just about anything. Would you care to do I'm so confused now. Our 11 questions, and I'll tell you why I'm confused. You know, for like 2 years, we did 11 questions that just turned out to be 10, but it took me like a whole year to realize there were only 10 questions. And now, you know, we call them 11 questions, and there's like 13 or something. So, you know, you can see where I would be a little confused. Would you care to...
I love questions.
Yay.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
We'll do the jingle. Do the jingle.
Yes.
And now, 11 questions.
You see, it's even in the name, 11 questions. Okay, anyway. number one, the best or worst movie you ever saw?
Best or worst? I think my favorite movie... that's hard. Maybe Stanley Kubrick's The Shining or Eyes Wide Shut.
Those are good answers. You know, I have a go-to answer. I don't know if I can say this actually my absolute favorite movie, but when anybody says, what's your favorite movie, I always say Fight Club. I mean, and I do love the movie. I just don't know if it's actually my favorite, but it's definitely my go-to. You have to have a go-to, you know, something that you just whip off the top of your head.
I haven't watched a lot of movies lately. I don't have a TV myself, so I'm really not one for, like, TV or movies, but I definitely like The Shining. I've got Red Rum tattooed on the back of my neck.
Nice. That is so cool. Okay, let's see. What was the first grown-up horror novel you read?
I believe it was a collection of short horror stories by Stephen King called Just After Sunset.
Oh, wow. That's probably one of the ones I have not read. Okay, let's see. Here's a good one. What's your favorite cuss word?
I don't cuss a whole ton. If I, that's a hard one. Probably, fuck.
That's like, you know, that one is good. You can use that anywhere. Just about that. That's probably the best one. I think it's my favorite too.
It slips a lot.
Yeah, definitely. What would be the worst way you can imagine yourself dying? This is a dark question, James.
Yes, thank you.
If the world, this is like a fear of mine, if the world ran out of air, but like, you know, you're not underwater or anything, you're just like in the world and it ran out of actual oxygen in the space, so like you basically suffocated just like above water. That's my biggest fear of dying.
Oh, that is a really disturbing way.
I like that, yeah. That's good. It's a good one, good one.
Let's see. What was your very first pet?
I had a beagle named Blue.
Aww. Who is your biggest influence, either with writing or just in life generally?
There's two that I'd say are equal. Lydia Lunch. I don't know if you guys know who she is.
Doesn't ring a bell. No,
don't know that one.
Well, look her up. Lydia Lunch, she's brutal and she's amazing. And then my other inspiration would be Cranford Nix, who was a musician who died very early and he didn't get very famous, but I have a couple references to him. There's a poem about him in both my books. One is titled I Love You, Cranford Nix, and the other one is titled I'm in Love with Cranford Nix. So he's definitely a big part of my life.
Awesome. Let's see. If you were God for a day, what would you do?
God?
Yes. I say goddess for us.
I think I am God already.
Yeah.
But if I was like God and I had full reign over the world, I would probably... I'd do something to... make sure every animal had, like, a home, and, like, I hate the thought of homeless animals and stuff like that. I'm a very big softie for animals.
Yeah, the animals are much better than people, so I got you there.
totally agree.
I would also maybe just strike down everyone who's ever wronged me and then call day.
Okay, let's see. Who or what is the crappiest horror or supernatural being?
Zombies. I don't care.
You don't like zombies? Oh, I love zombies. I don't know what I would
scare me. Are in like 28 Days Later, and otherwise I can't care.
Yeah, those past ones are freaking scary as heck. They really are. I mean, you know, the ones in The Walking Dead or something, you could just like run circles around them. As long as there wasn't like a million of them chasing you, you could, you know, you're pretty much okay. So. But those fast ones, they're pretty scary. This question, James. If it were legal to do so, would you eat human flesh? I bet you she's going to say yes.
Actually, I don't even eat meat. So I feel like humans have so much toxins, so much gross stuff. I don't want to eat a human. That's yucky. You know?
That's a good answer. That's a good reason. I like the reason behind the answer.
Yeah. It's not that, you know, can I eat fellow human beings? It's not that they're just, it's bad for you. It's just
they're
not
disgusting.
Like that.
It's just, I think it would taste bad. I think it would taste bad. I would, like, maybe eat it just to, like, send a message to all other humans, like, don't mess with me, but it'd be really hard to eat it.
Let's see. Who is your favorite member of the British royal family?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know much about them, but I'm going to say, isn't there someone named Pippa?
Yes, Pippa Middleton, who is the sister of Kate Middleton, who is William's wife. Yes. It'll not be long. Later this year, we'll be able to say Meghan Markle, famous for suits, who will be marrying into the royal family, I think, in May. So it'll be Princess Meghan. So there you go.
I'll have to remember that.
Pippa, because that's one of the names I go by. That's one of my
names. There you go. Pippa. Yep.
Let's see. Which franchise do you like best? Halloween, Friday the 13th, Elm Street, or Hellraiser, or Saw?
Halloween, and I like the Rob Zombie one.
Yes! Those are the best.
Yay!
I like the originals. I did. I like the originals, but the Rob Zombie remakes are so awesome.
They really are.
Rob Zombie movies in general are very good, like Lords of Salem.
Yep. Okay, let's see. What is your least favorite part of your writing process?
Probably when when I can't seem to get anything, like when writer's block, I guess.
Yeah, that sucks.
It can be very frustrating for me, and, like, I don't have, like, a full-time job or anything, so if I can't write, I feel pretty useless.
That's
the hardest part for me, is sometimes becoming uninspired, I guess it would be.
That's a good answer. And our bonus question, I'm excited about it because it's getting close now. Baseball or stamp collection?
Stamp collection.
Yay!
Oh, no.
I love you. One for
stamp collection.
I'm
not a sports person.
I'm excited because baseball season, we start the training next week. It's 1 week away. Woohoo! I'm excited. So, wake up, James. All right, well, we are just...
Sorry, you're still talking.
hush. We are just about finished with our first segment here, and it went by way too fast. Can you tell us where we can find you online, Sadie?
On my Facebook, I've got a page, Sadie Whitecoat Author, and my art page, Mad Dog Pipes Dark Art. I can't link them with my voice, but those are really the only two things I use. My personal account, my name is Snowflake Pippa. So anyone who cares to like, read my book and want to add me, I totally welcome that. Or I could give my email right now.
No, we have your social media links put up on our Facebook page. So if anybody wants to stalk Sadie, they can go there and do that. And
plus she's on the website as well.
Right.
Amazon and all over the place. So.
And we have her release party for her first book, Insights to Evil Insides, and that will be tomorrow. Holy crap, it's tomorrow. And so if anybody wants to join that, it's on Facebook. I think it's you just probably type in the name of the book there and release party, it comes right up. So we want to thank you so much for coming on the show, Sadie.
Thank you so much for having me. Very nice to finally talk to you both.
Yes,
definitely.
We'll
have to do it again when
your
next book
comes
out.
Yeah. Well, by the sound of it, that's going to be soon. So we'll have to get you booked on pretty quickly, huh?
The sooner the better.
Definitely. And she can rap for us some more.
Yeah, well, we will. We'll find some of you can beatbox, and we'll do the backing sound as well. That'll be great.
Right,
or I may even learn. I'll try and learn. But,
God.
No.
I'll write some raps specifically for you guys. Or if you're really lucky, maybe I'll do a freestyle.
Oh, yeah. We love that. Fantastic. Okay, well, thank you so much, Sadie. It's been an absolute delight.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll speak to you again very shortly.
Okay.
Have
bye-bye.
A good evening. Mm-hmm. Okay, bye-bye.
You too.
Wow, that whizzed by, didn't it? All the goings on there. So, I think time. We will be right back in a few minutes.
Panic Room Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Come out tonight.
Welcome back to part two. Indeed, that was. I just realised why. How come you like you love that song so much, Xtina? Hello.
I wasn't paying any attention just then.
You weren't, were you? Actually, she loves that song because it's about sherry, which is obviously alcohol. So
I do love that song. I was dancing, and I think in my head I was still dancing when the music stopped and you started talking, because I really I wasn't paying any attention to what you just said. To be honest, I'm gonna make myself sound really stupid here, but I worried that I had pushed the mute button on my phone, so I was looking at it to see if I had pushed the mute button, and of course I couldn't see because it's like dark in here. So, but no, I have no idea what you said. Was it important? Did I miss something good?
No,
I miss good.
No, not at all. No, nothing. Just the show, you know. Just what
the
we
show.
Do, you know, just you know, miles away. But yeah. There you go. So, what happens now? I have no bloody idea what happens now. I know what happens next. I know. Hang on. So my you know, my little ball on my mouse has got, it gets sticky. And
Why does it get sticky? Mine doesn't get sticky.
I don't know. It just does. Anywho, it gets sticky and it doesn't, it
That's
doesn't it
disturbing.
Rolls down. It scrolls down, but no, it's not what you think. Get your mind out of the sewer.
Uh-huh.
You know what it could be? You know, we've been... Here's the thing. We've been, funnily enough, and this is not a ruse, we've been plagued by fruit flies this past week. And I think they're getting into my mouse. I think the little buggers
really?
Are getting into my mouse. Mm.
You really
gumming it up.
What happened?
I do. I think they're doing it deliberately. They're throwing themselves on that little trackball thing. So enough about my. Oh, you see, it's sticking again. Oh, really? Enough about.
Oh my
it. So
God.
You never get what? It is. It is that.
No, my mouth
is
never gets sticky. Now this is starting to sound like a really dirty conversation, but no, my mouth never gets sticky ever.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, do you know, this is supposed to be a nice family show, and it's not, is it? We've been talking, what with your alley and sticky balls. I mean, it's just not acceptable. We'll have the whoever they are taking us off the air at this rate. But it could well be. Is it?
Oh,
is
hey.
It?
Hey. Looks like it's time to review something. Oh no.
Well, hello. Oh no.
Hi,
well, Becky, I've been trying for 20 minutes to get a phone. What's your phone number? Well, I'm on hold. Yeah, but so are other people. You know. You know, it's not just all about you, Becky, okay?
This is my
fucking show, so you know. To behave.
Okay, I'll die.
How are you this evening, my dear?
I'm fine. How are you?
You're fine. I'm fine too, y'all.
We're fine.
We're all fine.
Oh, God.
Ooh, one of those things. So, Becky, what delights do you have for us this evening?
Well, I am going to review a very special book. It is published by Hellbound Books, and the title is called Dark Musings by Xtina Marie.
Oh, wow. How come I didn't know you were going to be reviewing that? This is so awesome. I had no idea.
That's why.
Because I wanted to surprise you.
Yay.
okay,
so go ahead and tell us how much you love it.
I do love it. I really do.
She might not.
Hey. Well, I do. I'm going to tell you if I didn't, but I wouldn't tell you here at all. By my count, there are 43 poems in this book. It is amazing dark poetry. It'll make
Yay.
Your soul and heart absolutely bleed. There are several in here that made me cry. I mean, you can't fake feeling like this. You absolutely write from deep within your soul when you write your poems. And you can tell when people do, you know. Anybody can write words and put them on a page, but when you can feel what, you know, the author wants you to feel in a book or a poem or whatever, you've done your job and you've done it well. And you have. There is no doubt.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It is absolutely brilliant. And there is absolutely no doubt that you can write some awesome poetry. Mm-hmm. I would recommend this book to anyone. My reviewer rating is a 9.5.
Woohoo! That's a good rating. I love that.
Yay! That's a lot of Becky points, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It really is. And you know, not just anybody can get them. I'm trying to send you with them.
I've heard that. I have. I'm not going to say from who, but I have heard that. Right?
Yeah.
I knew they'd get a laugh out of you.
Yeah. If they like dark poetry, they definitely do not want to miss this book. And it's available on Hellbound's website at hellboundbookspublishing.com.
It is.
Buy one
it
for
is.
You.
And
buy
it.
One
yes,
for
everybody.
You. Buy one for a friend.
Buy everybody
like
one. Buy one for everybody on the planet. That would be fantastic.
Yes.
Hell
that'd be
yeah.
Great. Everyone should. Even I mentioned before that the little remote tribe in Papua New Guinea. You know, maybe they'd enjoy it. But you know, I think they would. I like to think that they would.
I think they would.
And it has a really cool cover. I think it needs to have extra cool points just for what a kick-ass cover that is. I love the cover too.
Yeah.
I really do. It's really creepy.
Too.
One of my longest best friends. She is just sunshine. You know, I mean, she's not dark at all. She's the sweetest. You know, she's just freaking sunshine. And you know, she was so excited because I signed the books and I sent them to her, and you know, she's like, I'm going to have to keep dark musings away from my children because I think that you would scare them. But you know, she was really excited to have him. But you know, she just a lot of people, you know, they're not dark and they don't care for the darkness, you know. But I don't, you know, you have to have a way to get out all of those, you know, yucky feelings or whatever. And poetry was just how I did it.
Right. Now, see, I can write poems, but mine are usually those horribly awful, love, mushy, sappy, feely poems.
I have to say, Becky, I just interject here. I love the way you say poems.
I do too.
I think that is so sweet. I've been writing some poems. I have.
Well, that's the way it's spelled. Poems. That's how it's spelled. So she's
poems. No, she's poems. I like that. Poems. I'm going to call them poems from now on.
I remember the very first poem I ever wrote. Do you remember yours, X?
Oh,
the
God.
The very first poem? I was in fourth grade.
I don't. Oh, wow.
And
you know, mine, I want to say high school before I started writing poetry, but I don't know if it was my very first one, but I know that there was one called The Black Rose, and it was just so dark, and you know, about death and it was dark. I don't think it was as dark as maybe some of the ones in Dark Musings, but it was definitely dark for as young as I was. You know, I do remember
right.
The guy that I was just crazy over, and of course, he had a girlfriend at the time, and I had a boyfriend at the time, but I wanted this one guy so bad, and I wrote this poem about a black rose, and it creeped him out, and I remember thinking, that's what I intended to do, was creep you out, damn it.
Oh, I love it.
Right.
My first poem was like two or three lines, and it was In the spring, when weather's warm, a swarm of bees are in the trees.
Nice.
Why do I remember that? You know, I mean, that's
well done. I think most of my early attempts at poetry are all vulgar, and probably
limericks. And probably about limericks or something. You know, oh my
yeah,
god.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I used to. We had a book of Edward Lear poems. You know, the nonsense rhymes and limericks of Edward Lear, and I loved that book. I loved that book.
Yes.
You know, didn't he do The Owl and the Pussycat? And, or was that? No, that was Lewis Carroll, wasn't it? But no, Edward, I don't know if he made it over here, but some great stuff, just silly little rhymes, and I loved all of those. And for me, that was poetry. A, it rhymed. B, they were short. And C, they were funny. So that was what I grew up on.
My son, he had an assignment for his English class for today, and it was he needed to write a limerick. And, you know, he wanted my help with this, and, you know, so the only thing in my head I could remember was that stupid, there once was a man from Nantucket. That's the only thing I could from Googling. And that's how I helped him rhyme, was because in my mind I was going through that limerick. It's awful. Just
awesome.
Awful.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Which version did you remember is what I want to know.
What? How many versions are there? The bad one.
There's a clean version or the naughty one.
Oh, I don't know the clean one then. It had to have been the really, really naughty one.
There was a man from Nantucket who kept all his cash in a bucket. His daughter ran away with the man and answered the bucket in Nantucket. Yeah, okay.
No,
yeah,
mine was
whose
bleep was so long he could bleep. Yeah, that
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. I like that.
There was no bucket. No buckets at all.
The funny thing is that the best thing about that is you just have to say that first line. I never knew that, you know, because your mind then makes up the rest of it. Because obviously there's pretty much only a couple of things that can rhyme with Nantucket.
Right.
Yeah, so that's why I like that. You just make up your own shit, and I love that. I love that. Anywho, we digress. It's thank you so much for joining and for surprising Xtina with a brief review of her awesome book. I mean, I do pull a chain from time to time, but no, it is a great, great book. I have my signed copy up on my shelf here, so it's one of my prized possessions. That's because she hates you. That's why.
Hey,
no.
not really. No, you need to sort that out. Yeah, you need to make sure she gets you one.
Of course, of
yeah,
course.
Well, I have to figure out how she gets signed books from you first.
That is between Xena, I, and the dwarf. We've said this before, so stop fishing. Thank you for joining us. Becky, push off now, just goodness sake, building your part up. You know, you give her a 5 minute slot and she takes over the whole show. Just go away. We will speak to you
all
next week with you. Okay, love you. Bye, y'all. Bye, y'all. Bye, y'all. Bless her. Right, okay, we have we've got a couple of mystery calls. I'm going to bring them on. We'll see who this is. Hello.
Okay.
Who's that?
Yeah, but he's funny. I like him.
Oh, that's somebody's private conversation. Is that awesome?
What is going on?
I want to listen. I want to listen to what's going on.
Like, call me anytime and then I just have to talk.
Oh, really?
So I'm going to listen to the end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
I love it. Okay, so that was whoever that was. That was great. And hello, who's that?
I am a voice of overseas. I am Flemish. I am Bob van Lierhoven.
Oh, ding a ding a ding. Ding a ding a ding.
And I was listening to you guys, and suddenly I wasn't as ashamed of my Flemish accent as I was because I heard a lot of different accents. I think the male voice is British, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He's very, very British. Yes,
I could tell the difference between the American accent and the British accent.
Yay! Well, there are not many Yorkshire people in Houston, I have to say, but I'm probably it. It's probably just me. So this is Bob Bann. I hope we've pronounced it right. Leho Lehoven.
in real Dutch, it's Bob van Laarhoven, but mostly English people, they say Leerhoven.
Yeah, yes,
that's
we do.
That's how I ordered
that
too, yeah.
Yes, we do.
May I remind you that it is 5:30 in the morning over here, and it's snowing outside.
Well, you know something, Bob? I get up at 5:30 in the morning, so that's sort of just a regular day for me. So there you go.
But you're young and vigorous, and I'm old and decrepit. Yes, I wish. Old.
I tell you, Bob, I haven't been vigorous for a long time. I can tell. I'm a martyr to my hip. I really am. Absolute martyr.
But you are not.
Bob,
yes.
I'm not what? I'm not dead yet. I mean, I'll give you that one. But
there is a whole sound to your voice that predicts a sudden death. I think in the next few minutes.
Well, I'm going to try and cling on. I'm going to try and cling on for life until at least the end of the show. So
I'll do the same.
Okay, good. We need to agree not to die before 11:00 my time. So, Bobby, you are calling from Brussels, yeah? Regarding your book, Return to Hiroshima. The tagline sounds fantastic. It is a deformed dead baby that police inspector Takeda discovers under the Peace Monument, Hiroshima, in 1995, is the starting point of a hair-raising adventure. So you got me on several points there. So tell us a bit more about it.
Well, it's difficult to comprise a novel of almost 400 pages in a few minutes. But,
right.
You know, a few years ago, I read, by coincidence, a book by an American author, Hal Gold was his name. And it was Unit 731 Testimony, Japan's Wartime Human Experimentation Program. And in that in that book it became clear to me that the Secret Service Medical Unit 731 of the Japanese Imperial Army went even further in their gruesome medical experiments hidden in obscure parts of the Japanese continent than the Germans in World War II. Obsessed as the Japanese society was with the Bushido Code. The Bushido Code, it's popularly known as the way of the warrior. And the Japanese warrior had to be superior to all other living beings at all costs. And some of the experiments, even many of them, were so esoteric that I was really stricken by lightning, you could say, when I read what people can do to other people when they are governed by an ideology that is very, very extreme. And that was the starting point of me writing that book of almost 400 pages.
Wow.
Well, yeah, I read, funny enough, recently read an article about the Japanese experimentation, and it was gruesome stuff. And I think you're right, Bob. I mean, it's one of those, I guess as you know, writers of dark things, you know, we often think, you know, we imagine what, you know, the human animal is capable of. And I think in situations like that, and obviously with the Nazis and many times through history, is that that ability to inflict unspeakable pain on your fellow human, I think it's inherent, and all they need is that endorsement. They just need permission.
Yes, that endorsement, true. Very true.
And it's just there. I think it is there in all of us, to be honest. It's just scary. Right, but again, if it's there in all, I mean, that is obviously part of our biology. So, but yeah, I read some of the stuff they did was just beyond comprehension, to be honest. Horrible stuff. And, you know, it's, and we've said it before on this show, you know, I mean, we make up some dark and nasty things as writers, but for everything we make up, there's something in the real world that has happened that is 10 times worse. 10 times worse.
That's very true. I was a full-time travel writer in war zones from 1990 until 2003. And for instance, just let me take that example, what I've seen in the Yugoslavian war, you know, mm-hmm. the Serbian, and it was mind-boggling. And those people who did those atrocities, when I interviewed them, they expressed emotion for their loved ones, for their children, for their pets. And at the same time, they were able to do the most hideous things you can imagine. It was mind-boggling. I don't know if I pronounce it correctly in English, but you know the Janus head, Janus, the god, the Greek god with the two heads.
Oh yes, uh-huh.
It's Janus, maybe in English.
Janus, yes, yeah.
Janus, yes. The Janus head of mankind has always intrigued me, and I've gone to great lengths to try to analyze that dual kind of mixed feelings within us that can make us, for instance, a loving father, and at the same time, someone who can ruthlessly torture, maim, and kill.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And it has happened so many times. Like you say, I mean, Yugoslavia, I mean, Rwanda, Cambodia. I mean, literally, the list just goes on and on and on and on and on. So it is inherent in our makeup, which is scary when you think about it.
That's scary. I was in mm-hmm. Liberia in the 90s, and there was a gruesome civil war going on there. Maybe you remember. And I interviewed there a child soldier, a girl, and she had a rucksack with a doll in it, an old, dilapidated doll. And I asked her if she knew how many people she had killed. And you know what she did? She began to count on her fingers.
Wow. Oh, wow.
To reach, well, the number of people she remembered
goodness.
She had killed. So at the same time that typically, I think she was between 10 and 12 at the most.
Oh, my goodness.
And that strange gesture of counting on her fingers like a little child. But the number she was seeking was the number of people she had killed. So those strange contradictions in humankind, they have always fascinated me. And I'm almost 65 now, so I'm retired, but I have published some 35 books on which I look back now in wonderment, in wonder, because they're so dark and so noir. And at the same time, I have always been someone who loves life, who loves a good joke, who loves a good beer, like every Fleming
Yay,
does.
Yay, beer!
our
mother's way. We love our beer.
Our mother's three beers are world famous. It's just the one thing Fleming are famous for. But to come back to my reasoning, I always had that discrepancy. I'm not sure if I pronounce the word right. The discrepancy between...
Discrepancy, yeah.
Yes, me loving life and loving the good things of life and being, well, in a way, obsessed by all those darkness inside of us. And now, being an old man or becoming an old man, I look back to these novels and to my work in wonder, thinking, yeah, did I do this? Was I there? Have I seen that? And those novels, I think they are a way of, they are my way of trying to search for that hidden heart of darkness in us. That is so contradictory, I must say.
I am having such a great time just listening to you. I really am. Do you have a reading for us? You were going
yes,
to read.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I prepared just a Return to Hiroshima is a very complex novel with different storylines, well, unfolding and intermingling, and therefore I thought it better just to read the prologue as an introduction to the story. It's very hard to choose an excerpt from a novel like this, but the prologue begins with Mitsuko, and she's a giant deformed woman fleeing the headquarters of her father, and her father is a Yakuza, that's the Japanese mafia boss, who is nicknamed Rokurobei, after a famous male, which is rare in Japanese mythology, a demon. Rokurobei is the Lord of Lies. And her father's headquarters is located in the deserted mining island Hashima, in front of the Japanese coast. So she has to flee by boat. And the prologue follows her when she descends to the rocky pier of Hashima in the middle of the night. It's Mitsuko's plan to journey to Hiroshima, where in the 90s you could still regularly see Hibakusha. And Hibakusha were the deformed people who had been unborn babies when the nuclear bomb, little boy, in 1945 fell. And Mitsuko hopes that she will be less suspicious in Hiroshima because, as I said, she's a giant woman and there are some deformations on her body. But as the novel unfolds, we will see that her father is relentlessly on her trail. So, the prologue goes like this. In the diffident light of a fading moon, I descend the path to the wooden pier, exhausted somehow by the incessant boom of the surf. On my right, massive waves crash against the concrete wall that surrounds this part of Hashima Island. Every few meters of my descent, I look over my shoulder. A lifetime of shadows and fears has sensitized me to presences. I can't help wondering if Rokurobei knows that his minions call him the serpent's neck behind his back. Me, they call Mayo, the giant witch. They fear me, but I know that Mayo is no match for the serpent's neck. I have the feeling that Rokurobei will materialize at any moment from behind the weathered concrete blocks next to the pier. I have apologies and lies at the ready, but will they suffice to slake his wrath? The ship is waiting, as I had commanded. Rokurobei tends to use Burakumin as his servants, those of unclean descent. This is to my advantage. The captain wouldn't dare question my orders. Recently, during daytime, I walked to the shore with a book in my hand. I told Rokurobei that I liked to read with the roar of the water in the background. I closed my eyes intermittently as I descended to imitate the darkness that would confound my escape. The night sky hangs low, ashen, the moon prowling behind restless clouds, pale red as a berry in spring. I carry a rucksack with a few belongings, some cash, my diaries, and the talisman. My breathing is fast, as if the blustering coastal wind has sucked away the oxygen. The instant my feet touch the rough wood of the pier, a lantern ahead of me sways to and fro, then disappears, a sign that the captain is waiting for me, ready for departure. I can't resist one final glance over my shoulder, up towards the eagle's nest on the top of the tallest apartment building on the island. At that moment, the moon breaks through the clouds and magnifies Rokurobei's silhouette, standing at the handrail of the fortified wall. I freeze. Time skips a beat. Then I realize that the serpent's neck is looking in the opposite direction. I sense he's deep in thought, reflecting on who he once was and what he has become. He never understood that to me, Hashima Island was Sakoku, alarmed and chained. That's it. The beginning of the novel.
Awesome. That's fantastic. I want to hear more.
It is. I know. I wanted to just keep him reading. I love to hear it. I love the accent. It's amazing. I'm the only one without an accent. You know, I have James, and I hear him all the time, and I love the accent, and then there's just me. And I can sit back and sip my wine all night and just hear you lovely voices talking.
Yes, but I had to take all kinds of strange colored pills in order to get that accent. You know,
well, some of that fantastic European lager.
You won't find better ones in the whole world. We're really proud of our monastery beers, who are still brewed in an ancient tradition, you know. That's another chapter besides being an author. You know, I feel blessed looking back at this age, nearly 65. And it's a surprise for me that I have reached this age. you look back a lot, you know, and try to see what undercurrents have directed your life, undercurrents which were not visible at the time being, but afterwards they become visible, and they are like the pointed fingers of God, who have chosen you, who have shown you the way, and I'm mighty grateful that me, a son of a working class family, has been able to be a full-time professional writer for 28 years now, in a small language community like this one. Don't forget, Flanders has 5 million people, and for an author to survive with an audience
wow.
of 5 million people, that's not so easy. That's one of the reasons that I published traditionally 37 or 38 books. I lost count somewhere.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
So I'm mighty grateful for my life, and now I'm looking for, not pathetically, but I'm looking for the way out, the exit.
Oh, wow.
And maybe for another life adventure, who knows?
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Awesome. I like that.
I hate that I have to do this right after he got done saying that, but we are just about out of time.
I know.
Yeah. You have to promise to come back and see us. That I want to have you on for the whole show next time. You know, that would be amazing. And more reading. I loved it. More reading and more of you. So you have to promise you'll come back.
You make this old man blush, and blush again.
Fantastic.
I'm going to take that as a yes, then. Awesome.
Of course. It was very nice.
Yeah, I was going to say that we have your links put up on our Facebook page. So if anybody wants to stalk you, they can go there and do that. And I'm definitely going to get with you after the show and get you booked back on, because this was amazing. I loved every second of it. I did. So.
Yep, me too. It's been an absolute honor, sir. Thank you so much for joining us.
You should see me. My face is beet red now.
Excellent.
Okay. Thank you for having me on the show. And I wish you lots of success, you both, in the further unraveling of your careers.
Thank you so much. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Your day is just beginning.
I still have part of the night before the day comes.
You go back to bed then, okay? And we will speak to you again very soon, Bob. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, what a great guy. We've got to have him back on again. Anyway, I'm afraid to say, and the time has just flown by. It's that time when we say goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's take off in the blue. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just fly starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near. You may hear angels cheer, 'cause we're together weather-wise. It's such a lovely day. Just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near. You may hear Angels cheer, cause we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. You just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.